Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Further Review, Buffalo News, BuffaloNews.com. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, joined as always by Jay Skursky. We're a day removed from Bills 34-10 over the hapless Titans. We'll get in a bunch of different topics. Let's start off with the story of the week, which happened a couple hours after we filmed last week's podcast, which was the trade for Amari Cooper. You led your story in today's paper on him. 19 snaps, 4 catches, 66 yards. I don't think you could draw it up any better.
No, I mean, well, maybe the first catch or the first play would have gone a little better. He drops the first ball that comes to him, right? It's a third down, and you're thinking, okay, well, he's had some issues with drops in Cleveland, and maybe they followed him to Buffalo. But no, it got better, a lot better for Amari Cooper after halftime, of course. And first catch as a member of the Bills goes for a touchdown in the third quarter, gets them in front in the game. And it seemed like the offense really opened up when they started going to Cooper in the second half. You know, the play, Ryan, that stands out to me is maybe the most basic of catches for him, though. You know, 8 yards, it's in the fourth quarter. It's a 2nd and 8 play. Allen is pressured. He's got to get the ball out of his hands. Amari Cooper is not really open, necessarily. The throw is not great because it's a rush throw. It's behind Cooper. He still makes the catch, though, and it's a first down. And I wrote in my column today that it's the type of play that I think the Bills offense was just starving for. When you needed somebody to step up, who was going to do it? And too often, the answer in the first 6 games at wide receiver was either Khalil Shakir or nobody. And so now you've got Amari Cooper here, and he's able to make that play. He's able to make those types of plays. I was really impressed with that play. Then you learn after the game, they didn't even practice that play. Allen and Cooper talked about it. Cooper told him he runs slants a little differently than maybe some other receivers, and they were still able to execute, move the chains. Ultimately, they got a field goal on that drive to go up 3 possessions, really put the game away. I just thought it was a super impressive play and kind of an example of what he's going to bring to this offense.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that play because you can tell he's a veteran. He's pretty cagey, and he understands angles. He understands how to position himself to make sure he's the only one, you know, can be able to catch that pass. And I thought the one he made on the near sideline provided some yards after the catch. And I mean, I think, after that first play, you didn't see him for a while. So, okay, is he going to have a really limited role today? And then he came on in the second half. And, you know, what I liked about how the Bills used him just for this first game is they used him inside. You know, you hear about, he's this outside guy. He's this deep threat. Well, you can also, you know, work out of the slot in the red zone and catch the touchdowns that way when you have a receiver outside of him. And then he can, they sent a blitzer or whatever, and it was easy pickings. But I think each week you're going to see maybe Cooper's numbers not so much grow, but his role grow and get into that regular rotation.
Yeah, I think we can't read a lot into the snap counts at receiver yesterday because Curtis Samuel got hurt, right? He goes out really early in the game. So what does that mean for Cooper's numbers? Did he play maybe a little bit more? Did Mac Hollins play a little bit more? He was still at 75% of the snaps. That's too high for me. You know, one target, no catches for Mac Hollins. But maybe that number went up as well because Samuel was out. So it's hard to really know what the game plan was because they had to adjust it because of that injury. But, you know, I think we should point out too, Ryan, pretty kind of a fun moment. You know, the replay looked like on Cooper's touchdown that he's looking over to Keon Coleman, the rookie, kind of puts his hands up like this, like, what am I doing here? Because it was a check. It was a, you know, maybe audible, whatever, at the line of scrimmage. They were both sort of playing coy in terms of what was communicated there. But there was some sort of communication between Coleman and Cooper, and ultimately the play ends up in the end zone. So while we didn't really get the full story on what was communicated there, I think it went to show, like, hey, this guy's still pretty brand new. He's turned into a rookie to make sure that they're on the same page, and ultimately it worked out.
Well, for those watching on video, when a player does this, that's the universal sports language. What do I do?
Yeah.
When the other receiver does this, that's the universal language of run that way. So yeah. I have some fun with it. I mean, the guy just got here. He's not supposed to know all the, you know, stuff, but a successful debut for Cooper and the Bills.
And Ryan, while Amari Cooper maybe made headlines, maybe stole a little bit of the, the limelight against the Titans, he was far from the only contributor for this Bills offense. Josh Allen goes over 300 yards for the first time this season. The list is long, right, of the guys who stepped up for this offense. All 3 running backs find their way into the end zone. Ty Johnson through the air, James Cook and Ray Davis on the ground. Keon Coleman, the rookie, first 100-yard receiving game, not only for him and his career, but also for the Bills this season. What do you make, Ryan, of the guys around Amari Cooper? What was your big takeaway from everyone not wearing number 18 yesterday?
Yeah, I'll give you two takeaways. One, having Shakir back is such a security blanket for Josh Allen. 7 catches on 7 targets for 65 yards. And the second part is, you mentioned it in the first segment, when they got Amari Cooper involved, it seemed to loosen up the defense a little bit for the other guys to work other parts of the field. And this was only the third time that Allen had 4 guys with at least 52 yards receiving in his career, so it's pretty rare. And that means they're getting big plays. They had a season high 8 explosive catches, which is a gain of at least 16 yards. But I'll start with Shakir. Once you get him back, he does so many good things on the tunnel screen, stop routes over the middle just to get across the first down marker. Coleman, 2 big plays, 44 and 57 yards. He's not going to run away from anybody, but he can do things after the catch to get, to get those big chunk yards. And I think Kincaid with 3 catches, I think you're seeing him get cranked up a little bit. And it took a while. I think it was a learning process. Okay, how are defenses going to account for him? How is he going to break through that? And I think you see him taking advantage on the perimeter instead of working just the middle of the field. So I think those were all positive developments for this Bills passing game.
Yeah, for Kincaid, I mean, Allen pointed to the deep ball down toward the right pylon, working away from us in the press box toward the scoreboard end of the stadium as being one of the bigger plays in this game, and I thought so too. Seeing him get down the field more than what we have in the first 6 weeks, really in his career, he was a high volume guy last year. But the amount of big, in Ryan, you're big on the explosive plays. I know that's something that you track a lot. Kincaid had not provided a lot of those. So to see those was a really good sign. Coleman, I think his most impressive play might have been the one that didn't count, right? That back shoulder touchdown catch, very close, didn't hold up on review. Some of the Bills said after the game they still thought he was in. Either way, though, I thought that was a really impressive play. Obviously, the 44-yarder comes on a broken coverage. But, at that point in the game, nobody was doing anything offensively for the Bills. They needed a play. So it was good to see him make that, and then he gets the big 57-yarder at the end to feel good about the number, and the 100 yards is a nice accomplishment for him. It's good for that offense to kind of get that monkey off its back, where they needed a game that was friendly to the fantasy football players that increases the numbers. This was a bad opponent, right? And what do you want to see against a bad opponent? You want to see domination, and ultimately in the second half they got there. But I think moving forward, it looks to me, Ryan, and tell me if you disagree, but I mean, this passing game is going to live with Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir as your top three, and then whatever you get from Dalton Kincaid week to week, those are by far your top four options. And then beyond that, it's kind of found money if you get anything from anybody else.
Yeah, and I don't like when they throw Dalton Kincaid tunnel screens, because this is a big body who takes a while to get going. I want him moving. I want him catching the football when he's moving north. And that means the protection has to hold up, which it did. Allen was sacked 1 time yesterday. So on those longer developing runs, the Kincaid, you need all the things to align. And, I do agree to say, okay, if Cooper's your one, then I think Shakir's your two, Coleman's your three. And then Kincaid is working the margin, so to speak. And I mean, if you're Curtis Samuel, I don't see a role. At some point, okay, why are you even active? But we'll have that conversation for a later day.
Yeah.
Well, Jabe, we talked about the second half and how it was, Buffalo did whatever they wanted to do, but it we should address the first half, which was terrible. 3-3 and outs to start the game. They had started the game with more than, two. And then also 5 punts in the first half. So, as you talked to guys after the game and you reviewed it, what happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a troubling trend for this team. They have not started games well, it's one of those glass half full, glass half empty things, right? How do you view that? Because they are making the necessary adjustments. Clearly, defensively, just looking at some numbers as I'm writing this today for Tuesday's Buffalo News, They've given up 95 points defensively in the first half of games. That number drops to 41 in the second half, less than half of that total. I mean, that is a big turnaround, a big change. You've got to give the coaching staff credit, right? Bobby Babich, they're settling in. They're kind of getting a flow of the game and how they want to call it. And, you know, we know that the first, 12, 15 plays of a game are scripted, quote unquote, right? And so why are opposing teams having that much success in those situations? It's a good question. I mean, this, as I mentioned in an earlier segment, this is a bad Titans team. They're starting a quarterback who maybe doesn't belong in the league or is a number three in Mason Rudolph. Really looked like kind of a preseason lineup at times for them. But, 13-3 first downs in the first half. 5 of 8 for Tennessee on third down, 0 of 5 for the Bills. Yardage, big disparity in yards gained. And so this was a game that Tennessee was dominating at the start. And the Bills, I think, quite frankly, were probably lucky to only be down 10-7 at halftime. You know, a big touchdown to get them back into the game. But it's troubling that it took them that long to get going. And I feel like against better opponents, that's, something that they're not going to be afforded that luxury all the time.
Correct. And you saw it against Baltimore. Ravens took control, never gave it up. Houston tried to give it up in that game a couple weeks ago, but their Bills weren't having it. But Sean McDermott took the ball first, credited the wind. I was hoping he'd say, I'm going to come out, kick their butt, get a lead. But you look at those first quarter drives, third and one, Cooper drop. Second and five, Deion Dawkins, another false start penalty at home. I don't know what's going on there. And then they have a third and six incompletion. All of a sudden, you're 3-3 and outs and the first quarter's over. So, I mean, to me, it's human nature. You're facing a bad Titans team. You're finally playing on your home field. You know you have the better personnel, but that's still a bad excuse. You have to come out and where I thought they should have done is show some urgency with the passing game to get a lead so they get their pass rush cranked up, which is what they did in the second half when Greg Rousseau couldn't be blocked. So, I mean, starting this week in Seattle, it's, when you're punching back up in class, you can't afford to have these sleepwalks, which have become, too common for the Bills.
Yeah. One play I think we should really point out, and I give Sean McDermott credit. He mentioned it in the post game. It's not going to get a ton of attention, but the kick return by Brandon Codrington, it was, I think, 29 yards, but he must have broke three or maybe even four tackles on that play. Gave them a pretty good, it was 27 yards, excuse me, but it gave them a drive start at their 39-yard line. They scored three plays later. It was a three-play, 61-yard touchdown drive in the first half. They needed something to go right because at that point it was quiet inside Highmark Stadium, very, very quiet. And Codrington, it was, again, that was a tough, tough return. And to make as many positive yards out of that as he did, Mark Gaughan and I talked about this yesterday. He's been a very good player for them. I mean, he is known when to field punts. He has been pretty sure-handed with the ball. I know he had one yesterday where he was ruled down by contact, but you look at what he was able to do for this team in terms of their average drive starts and field position. And that play, when they needed some kind of a spark, he gave it to them. So I think we got to give him a little bit of props for a rookie to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, and I gave him a game ball yesterday because the goal on a punt return is to get the first down. Well, he did that four times.
Yeah.
So four punt returns of at least 10 yards, which is pretty impressive. And got to give the personnel department credit because nobody heard this guy when they traded for him on cutdown day, and basically they just gave him the job, and he's capitalized on the opportunity.
And Ryan, you mentioned it there a minute ago. This is punching up in class now for the Bills. They've got another long road trip, one of the longest of the season, out to Seattle. Not a short week, but in terms of, you're coming off a Monday night game, you come back home, and now you're right back on the road against a good opponent, a 4-3 Seahawks team. A little bit, run hot and cold the Seahawks have this year, but we know that this is a tough place to play. This will only be my second trip there, so I'm looking forward to this one. I know it's a fun stadium to experience a game in. NFC West, you're not super familiar with these teams, right? And so what do you make of this trip here, flying all the way out to the West Coast for the Bills?
It takes a long time to get there.
It does.
I was counting on the drive home last night. I think this will be my 12th Seattle trip.
And that, wow, okay.
Even from Denver, when I covered them, was a three-hour flight. It's for Bills fans who are going to the game, it's one of my favorite stadiums because it's loud. You can hear the stadium shake a little bit. And so it's just a great atmosphere. The Seahawks won three, lost three, and then go on the road yesterday and pump Atlanta 34-14. This team can throw the football. They got three receivers who at least all have at least 30 catches in Smith and Jigba, Metcalf and Lockett. So it's going to be Benford, Douglas, Tyron Johnson. Going to have to be really on point. But Geno Smith, I think there's an opportunity there to take the football away, maybe pressure him into some mistakes. But you know, you can't afford these slow starts again in Seattle.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about the receivers, and you know, as you were breaking down those matchups, I'm coming away from it thinking, all right, I think the Bills, you know, maybe like their chances there. You know, having Tyron Johnson back is just so big for this defense, right? You know, you point to that Tennessee game yesterday, early in the game, it's a third down play, and he makes the pass breakup, forces a punt. I know he had a penalty, you know, maybe a bit of a questionable call, but I think what Tyron Johnson means to this defense is huge, especially when you're going up against a team like Seattle, who's got three really good wide receivers. We talked about it before, right? I don't know that the Bills can afford such a slow start, though, because, you know, in a loud atmosphere, loud environment, you want to try to take the crowd out of it as much as you can. An early quick start, I think, would be bigger for the Bills in this game than maybe even, you know, it certainly would be bigger than it would be against a team like Tennessee, to, you know, to your point where, hey, you know, all right, we slept walk, but we know we're the better team. Seattle gets some momentum. They get the crowd on their side. That may not go as well for the Bills.
Yeah, and just looked it up. Seattle's allowed 20 sacks, and they have 20 sacks. So that's obviously a point of emphasis. You know, one thing if I'm the Bills is you got to work on that silent count this week, because that crowd's going to be cranked up from the first play of the game. And this is, they've had a false start penalty for the Bills, home and away. So yeah, they were better with penalties yesterday compared to the debacle against the Jets. But, you know, staying ahead of the sticks, the cliche goes, can't get in first and 15. He can't get in second and 20. So I think this has got to be a fundamental game for the Bills to get a road win.
Yeah, turnovers too, right? Obviously, those are big. That's something that either you or I, one of us, is going to be looking at. We talked about that a little bit in the press box as the week goes on. Bills have been very, very good in that category this year. So a little bit of a teaser for what's to come this week in the Buffalo News. Ryan and I will be back next Monday, time TBA, as we red-eye home from Seattle or somehow get home from Seattle. So we'll figure out what time we're going to be joining you next week for the next edition of Further Review. So until then, for Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Jay Skirsky. Thanks so much for watching.